No more resistance or Megacol. You understand, strangers?
Yeah, we understand, Doctor. Jack, you take care now. We'll be in to see you in the morning.
In their super-tech world, it was obvious the scientists had never come across anyone with the raw power and ruthless skill to off-armed men with hands and feet only. Ryan's guess was that that should be enough to keep the kid alive for a while. That was his hope. The Sekhmen wheeled clumsily around, circling the young boy. Jack brushed back his snowy mane of hair, pale face schooled into stillness. The crippled scientist went haltingly out first, followed by the patrol.
Hold your fucking head up, Whitey.
Sure, Fats. I'll do that.
Dr. Tardy was last out, pausing in the doorway to turn and rake the six of them with her pebbled eyes.
Strange company for a man such as you, Dr. Tanner. We shall examine and test all of this, but it must wait. Central will become impatient if we do not proceed, and we are so nearly ready. So very nearly.
The door shut, and Ryan and his companions were left alone. Later, on his narrow bed, under the subdued lighting of the dormitory, Ryan found sleep difficult. The room still tasted of death, though the corpses had been removed and the floor cleaned. There were too many rules he couldn't understand, too many pieces missing from the puzzle.
Fire blast.
He didn't even know what the game was called. The sign above the door said, Information Storage and Retrieval. To Ryan's surprise, they had been encouraged to visit Jack after they'd taken their first meal of the pallid sludge. The boy was safe and well, though in a closed security unit under a heavy guard of visored Sekhmen. Later, they'd again split up to explore the Wizard Island complex, Ryan and Christy wandering far into an isolated wing, descending in a smaller elevator, finding themselves in a region that seemed totally unused. There were tiny heaps of dust in the corners of the corridors. All of the doors were locked, and few carried any sort of sign. It seemed as though it was a part of the complex that had drifted into disuse, possibly as the population decreased so rapidly. JB and Finnegan had gone in search of ways of getting through to the main entrance and exit elevators, checking out the levels of security coverage. Lori hadn't been feeling well, but she and Doc were going again toward the closed research areas, in the hope that Doc's name might find them a way through.
It's what they used to call a library.
I've seen them before. Lots of redoubts had them. Books and vids and mags, micros and fiches. All old stuff. Most so far gone, it's useless.
Shall we go in?
Sure. Probably locked like that. No, it isn't.
The door was stiff, the bronze handle reluctant to move at all. As it opened, they felt the faintest draft of stale air, which made Christie's vivid hair coil and shift.
Tastes like a well-kept grave.
Been long years since this was opened up. I know that smell from other places, other times.
Hand in hand, like children, Christy and Ryan walked in, their shoes squeaking on the dull floor. After an hour or more of wandering the endless rows of files, Ryan was completely flustered.
This is madness, lover. There's all the history of the fucking world here. Everything. Right up to January 2001. All from outside. But you scan anything after the bombs fell, and it's from Wizard Island.
Yeah. Post the nukes, it's all inbred stuff. Like the world outside stopped dead, which it nearly did. But they didn't record anything after that. Like nobody ever left here.
That's what that poisonous scientist dwarf said. Nobody ever leaves Wizard Island. Not until us.
Christy stared around her, shaking her head.
There must be plans in here of how the redoubt was built. If we knew that, we could maybe find how to get out. Or how to wreck it.
Take forever.
I guess so. But I feel that...
She looked down at her feet.
What is it?
Christy grinned.
You know there's a kind of muty streak in me, lover. I can feel some vibrations from in here.
What? Somebody in here? Can't be. We've been clear around it and there's only the one entrance.
No, not that. Ryan?
Yeah?
Stay here by this microviewer. Keep quiet. Don't move or speak.
Ryan did as she asked. He already knew that Christy had some strange powers, exceptional sight and hearing, as well as a doomy sensitivity. He watched her, stepping light as a cat, eyes almost closed, head raised, as if she were scenting the dulled air. She vanished behind a row of shelves, and he waited, patient, unmoving. He heard a wheeled ladder being moved, rusted casters squeaking, cabinets opening, drawers slamming shut.
This one.
She held out a flat disc in a laser scan envelope. There was a seal across it, with a tiny pattern of microcircuits dappled over the top. On the front were the letters TTCJCE.
Why?
That's the one we have to view. I don't know why, lover. Just try it in the player.
He took it and broke the seal, sliding the disc into the machine. The red light on the front remained steady, but the screen was stubbornly blank.
Malfunctioned?
I don't... Oh, here she comes.
The screen glowed a pallid green, and finally lettering appeared. Access denied. Refer to subcode CJ, all sex. Go to mainframe on limit, inject. Enter code now for reading. Repeat now. Nothing more happened. The words disappeared off the screen, leaving it blank again. Ryan and Christy looked at each other.
Don't like this.
Me neither.
Then the screen came to life again. Warning, if access reading code not entered in 15 seconds from message end, then all sex services will be notified. Warning ends. 15-second delay begins now. 15, 14, 13.
Time to move on out.
Never get beyond the door. Looks like we're screwed.
10 seconds. Security caution. 9, 8, 7.
It's E, then M, and finally Y.
Without even looking around, Ryan punched in the three letters. 3, 2, access open. Sec warning deleted. Proceed.
Thanks, Doc.
Ryan finally swiveled in the seat to see the old man leaning up against the wall, looking indescribably ancient and bone-weary.
Veritable pleasure. I did not desire to have those faceless goons on top of us.
Where's Lori?
Why, she is back in the dormitory. My poor darling was not feeling at all up to scratch. So I came wandering. I confess I had a most peculiar feeling I would find you in this place.
But what's... And how did...
Just key it in, dear Ryan.
Christy leaned over Ryan's shoulder, her hair brushing against his cheek in a subtle caressing gesture. She pressed the button marked Run with her index finger. The code had opened up the secret file, and now the screen glowed once more. Subject, Tanner, Theophilus Algernon, Doctor of Science, Harvard, Doctor of Philosophy, Oxford University, England. There followed a whole string of further qualifications, degrees, and honors, many from Europe. The screen scrolled through some 40 lines of them.
Fucking impressive, Doc. But there haven't been any of these college places for 100 years now. How'd you fake all this?
Tanner could not join in Ryan's laughter. He simply leaned against the wall and watched the screen with blank resignation. Birth date and location, South Stratford, Vermont, February 14th, 1868.
There's a lot of things in this complex cracking up. 1868? But it's wrong always. It can't be 1968. Nor 2068. So...
Christy pressed query and repeat. February 14th, 1868.
Gotta be a mistake. I'll punch up the portrait.
It was unmistakably Doc Tanner. The long, thin face with bright eyes... The oddly excellent set of strong teeth. The picture on the screen was a man dressed in, more or less, the same kind of old-fashioned clothes Doc had been wearing when Ryan and Christy had first met up with him. Ryan pressed the amplify key, using the cursor to underline the date of birth. Date confirmed. Day known as Feast Day of Christian Saint called Valentine, in year of 1868, during the period in the history of the United States of America known as Reconstruction, after the Civil War.
That was when they fought over slaves, wasn't it?
Mainly, yes, dear.
Ryan ignored them. His mind racing, he frantically scrolled down, pausing now and again to try to absorb the massive information about the old man who stood behind him. An old man who was, if the machine was to be believed, some 230 years old. Married June 17th, 1891. Wife, Emily Louise, née Chandler, deceased. Children, 2. Rachel, deceased at age 3 in 1896. Joyen, deceased at age 1 in 1896.
Fireblast. He was married with a couple of kids. But 200 years ago, How? Doc?
Ryan and Christy were alone again. The record raced by, and Ryan was able to absorb only the highlights of it. Dr. Theophilus Tanner had been a truly eminent scientist, doing research at both Harvard and Princeton. First located and targeted by TT.
What's that?
Ryan queried it. The answer came up on the screen that the initial stood for an exercise called Time Trawl. It seemed that the scientists working at the very end of the 20th century had been dabbling with temporal travel and had been searching the Victorian times for a possible specimen, or victim, to be trawled forward. There was no explanation of precisely how this would be done, not even the vaguest of hints, except for a cross-reference that was a jumble of letters and numerals.
Cron jumps. Old Doc's mentioned that a few times. Just a broken word or two. I thought he was raving like he... well, you know.
Sure. We all did, lover. We all did.
Now a pattern of order began to emerge out of the chaos of jumbled ideas and half-memories from the confused old man. As the screen scrolled forward, Ryan and Christy sat open-mouthed, hardly able to believe the evidence flashing up on the screen in front of them. Dr. Theophilus Tanner had been trawled in a time experiment operation in November 1896. Christy pointed out that this was the year both of Doc's children had died, and wondered if there could be any connection. At one point, Ryan noticed there was a passing reference to some other failed experiments in time trawling, including a judge on the New York State Supreme Court named Crater, a name that Ryan recalled had seemed to mean something to Doc Tanner when they'd first mentioned this lake. It seemed as though Judge Crater had been lifted successfully, but had never arrived safely in 1998. The word used was incomplete, which conjured up a horrific picture. Doc Tanner's lift appeared to have been the only one that could reasonably have been called successful. He was trawled forward to only 3 years before the long winters began. Physically, it seemed he had been in fair shape, but his mind had been tainted by the shattering experience. Subject's refusal to become reconciled to temporal correction proved difficult. Several abortive attempts to bribe or cheat his way into the Cron chambers were undeniable evidence of his overwhelming desire to travel back to his own time and rejoin his wife. One thing puzzled Ryan.
Christy? What the hell would have happened if they'd returned him to his own time, but a day before they trawled him?
You mean, if he'd met himself?
Yeah.
She entered a query concerning potential temporal anomalies.
It's the old one about going back in time and killing your own father before you were born. You wouldn't exist, so you couldn't go back in time and kill your own father, so you would exist, so on and so on.
The machine took its time before it began to print an answer. In that dusty mausoleum, filled with the useless knowledge of an entire civilization, Ryan found himself sweating. He wiped at his forehead, but the salty liquid trickled down behind the patch of his left eye, making the puckered raw socket sting. He eased the patch off and wiped at it with the end of the weighted silk scarf around his neck. Temporal anomalies are not clearly understood, nor easily explained. Evidence is limited as experiments have not proceeded far or fast. Most experts hypothesize that time is multi-stranded. There is at any one second millions upon millions of time possibilities, an infinite choice of parallel futures, any or all of which will persist. Thus, it is believed that the classic example of a person traveling back into the past to alter his own present is false. He will alter only one of the parallel streams, but his own present will not change. He could be killed in the past, but his own time stream will not be sullied by the disturbance. But in one universe, he will cease to exist. This is all that is known.
Thanks for fucking nothing.
Keep scrolling, or someone's going to get very suspicious about where we've gone and what we're doing. There'll be a sec patrol along here any time now.
Ryan took her advice, reading the screen as the information poured out. Subject's constant attempts to rejoin beloved Emily and his own century become a considerable irritant. Dr. Tanner was taken by the appropriate responsible authorities and placed under restraint.